Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for Catholic News, read by Chris Mpalik. The source of our program is denvercatholic.org. Thousands march for truth and love at inaugural March for Life in Colorado by Aaron Lambert. Thousands converged on the Colorado State Capitol April 12th to be the voice of the voiceless at the very first Colorado March for Life. As Colorado continues to pass legislation which only serves to maintain its reputation as the most pro-abortion state in the country, the gathering of nearly 4,000 people acted as a powerful witness to a bustling downtown Denver that the pro-life movement is very much alive and well. And efforts to build a culture of life in Colorado and beyond are far from flatlined, even in a post-Roe v. Wade world. The march marked the first time that the National March for Life organization has hosted a march in Denver through their state march program. The event was co-sponsored by Pro-Life Colorado, the local pro-life coalition formed in 2022, and headed by Colorado Catholic Conference Executive Director Brittany Vaselli. Speakers at the rally included Bishop Jorge H. Rodriguez, Bishop James R. Golka of the Diocese of Colorado Springs, National March for Life President Jean Mancini, author and Ethics and Public Policy Center Fellow Alexandra DeSantis, Dr. Catherine Wheeler, and Dr. Christina Francis of the American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs, Colorado State Representative Brandy Bradley, and local Catholic, Christian, and ecumenical leaders. During the march itself, the thousands gathered spilled into Colfax Avenue in a bold and joyful display of pro-life power. High schoolers from Bishop Matchbuff High School could be heard shouting refrains of "Protect Life" and chanting the Salve Regina. Even confused passersby couldn't help smile and wave. An air of positivity and resolve permeated this year's march, somehow even more uplifting than past pro-life rallies in Colorado. In addition to the rally itself, there were tables from several pro-life organizations and initiatives whose presence signaled a commitment to serving women and empowering them to choose life. Among the organizations and initiatives was an ultrasound truck offering women the opportunity to see the miracle of life growing in their womb. Bishop Jorge H. Rodriguez opened the rally in a prayer and offered 30 seconds of silence for those preborn lives lost to abortion. Representative Bradley then took to the microphones, joined by her fellow pro-life legislators, who stepped out from the legislative session happening just inside to greet the crowd. 66 babies a day are aborted in our state. We have the most radical and the most extreme abortion laws in the country, including day of birth abortions, Representative Bradley said. We are not a pro-choice state. We are a pro-murder state. There's no choice in Colorado anymore. This state has attacked a woman's right to receive help from alternative pregnancy centers. This state has attacked and limited a woman from taking pro-saving progesterone for her baby after the first chemical abortion pill. This state is not pro-choice. It's pro-abortion only. The people of Colorado need to hear that. Pro-abortion advocates have been gathering signatures for a right to abortion ballot initiative that would enshrine a so-called right to abortion in the state constitution and therefore allocate tax dollars to pay for them. As of Friday, a pro-abortion group said they had enough signatures to get it on the ballot. Pro-Life Colorado is currently formulating a plan to fight against this initiative as election season ramps up. And Americans United for Life is interested in helping to support their efforts. This so-called right to abortion would enshrine the access to unrestricted, unregulated, elective abortions through all 9 months of pregnancy paid for by your tax dollars, Rally MC Lauren Castillo said. Colorado already has some of the most heartbreaking pro-abortion laws in the country, and this amendment would permanently strip us of our ability to pass future laws protecting both mom and baby across this great state for generations to come. This is why we need you to join us as we march today with loving compassion and truth, raising our voices for the life today and every day. Gene Mancini, president of the National March for Life organization, acknowledged that while it will be an uphill battle to build a culture of life in Colorado, every single voice makes a difference. Every single one of you personally has the capacity to be that little light that can make a shift in the tide and change one person at a time, one person at a time, but ultimately build a culture of life in Colorado, Mancini said. And I want to say this, Colorado, I believe that you have some of the best fruits for building a culture of life. Dr. Catherine Wheeler and Dr. Christina Francis then addressed the crowd, encouraging those in attendance to never back down in the fight for life, but also making an appeal directly to all pro-life medical professionals. Alexandra De Sanctis of the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C. delivered the keynote address of the rally. We pro-lifers are here today in Colorado because we must offer this hurting world a message of hope, De Sanctis said. We're here to reject the lie that abortion makes us better off as a society. We're here to reject the lie that some human beings can be discarded simply because others view them as unwanted or inconvenient. We're here to reject the lie that women need abortion in order to be equal members of society. We're here to reject the lie that American men and women are served by ending the lives of their children in a womb. The sanctus spoke a word of mercy, truth, and compassion for those who have had abortions, who have been involved in the grave work of abortion. We know that mercy is always available for everyone, for every person who's ever been involved in an abortion or supported abortion, from the mother to the abortionist. No one is ever too far gone to be forgiven, and no one is too far gone to experience mercy and healing. Everyone involved in abortion is always welcome in a pro-life movement. Quoting from St. John Paul II when he visited Denver for World Youth Day 30 years ago, the sanctus echoed speakers who came before her and implored the crowd to resist the temptation to discouragement and faithfully say the chorus in building a culture of life in Colorado and beyond. Perhaps we feel like small voices in a wilderness, fighting against insurmountable odds. It's easy to fear sometimes that our efforts aren't worth it or that this cause might never succeed in our lifetime, the sanctus said. But as we go out into the byroads of the city today, witnessing to the beauty of everyday life, every man and woman, every child and womb, remember that powerful message spoken here in Denver by Pope John Paul II 30 years ago, that life is more powerful than the forces of death, the truth is more powerful than darkness, and that love is stronger than death. Married Americans are thriving, new study shows by the Denver Catholic staff. In a world punctuated by declining marriage rates, a new study recently published by Gallup has shown again that married Americans are thriving at higher rates than their unmarried peers. In fact, the data show that there is a 16 percentage point difference between married, 61%, and unmarried adults, 45%, who reported that they are thriving. What makes the difference? Well, Gallup notes that race, ethnicity, gender, age, and education level do not explain the gap. They also point out that married couples are more likely to practice a religion. It is worth noting, however, that even religious practice does not fully explain the difference, with atheists and agnostic married couples reporting that they are thriving at a higher rate than unmarried peers. The institution of marriage, with its cultural, social, and legal implications, likely affects behaviors and attitudes in important ways that enhance well-being. Through its formal and informal commitments, marriage raises the cost of terminating a relationship, Gallup reported. Logistically, this should encourage greater partner selection as well as greater investments in effort to develop and maintain a high-quality relationship. Data on relationship quality and marriage are consistent with this prediction. Even apart from physical attraction, having a strong intimate relationship with another adult is widely regarded as a desirable situation, and marriage makes this more likely. Marriage also increases the likelihood of having children and is associated with better relationships with those children, as previous Gallup research has shown. What can we do with Christ in you? 2024 Archbishop's Catholic Appeal launches by the Denver Catholic staff. When we know Jesus, everything changes. What will Jesus accomplish in and through you when you know him? St. Paul reminds us in the letter to the Philippians that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Philippians 4, verse 13. In and through the Lord Jesus, all is possible because of his grace, power, and blessing. Each year, faithful around the Archdiocese come together and bring about great things with Christ through the generous support of the Archbishop's Catholic Appeal. The Archbishop's Catholic Appeal supports more than 40 ministries all across Northern Colorado, including this very publication, as well as Annunciation Heights, St. John Vianney, and Redemptoris Mater Seminaries, our Archdiocesan Catholic Schools, and Catholic Charities, to name only a few. Countless individuals throughout the Archdiocese are positively impacted through your gifts to the Archbishop's Catholic Appeal. As the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, you help to provide food for the hungry, shelter for the needy, education and formation for Catholic students and seminarians, and outreach to individuals and families near and far from the Church. I am truly excited about the work we are engaged in, and I hope that you will consider contributing to the amazing work Jesus is bringing about in our Archdiocese, wrote Archbishop Samuel J. Aquila in his latest column. I am grateful for your help and remind you to increase your hope in what Christ will do in you. May our love for the Eucharist, our Lord, and for our neighbor increase each day. Join us on our mission to bring the love of Christ to all corners of the Archdiocese. With Jesus Christ, all things are possible, and we will do great things in his name. For more information about the Archbishop's Catholic Appeal and to make your donation, visit archden.org/give now. The New Temple, How Easter Changes Religion, by Jared Stout. Destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. This mysterious statement led, in part at least, to Christ's death, brought forward in a conflicting witness of his trial before the Sanhedrin. This group recognized Jesus as a threat to the religious status quo. The evangelists make clear that Jesus referred to the temple of his body, but the authorities correctly understood it as a prophecy that a new temple would overturn the old. Jesus brought something new, something that would displace the old ways of doing things, not only in Judaism, but in all of religious history. We tend to think of religion as a bad word and might ask, didn't Jesus get rid of that old thing? If so, what would take religious place? We often hear, I am spiritual, not religious. Instead of relying on other people and all those rules, another independent way to God must be found. The irony, however, is that finding our own way to God could be considered the definition of religion. Human beings are religious beings. Throughout history, we have always recognized an order within us to something beyond. True, this transcendent sense often remained vague, but it inspired a quest for meaning. Where do we come from? Where are we going? How do I live a good life? In an attempt to overcome the darkness of human life, faced with the reality of suffering and death, humans have initiated religious rituals to atone for sin, obtain divine favors, and establish a path to everlasting life. The history of religion, from this point of view, remains tragic. Human contemplation can arrive at certain knowledge that God exists, but cannot know him in himself or establish any direct relationship with him. No amount of sacrifice of any earthly good can atone for sin. There's no bridge that we can build into heaven. Our religious nature meets a dead end, even expressed as the aimless spiritual search of modern people. Because God remains unknown, the search largely focuses on myself, my thoughts, desires, and aspirations. Pope Benedict XVI, in the second volume of Jesus of Nazareth, points to an unexpected but decisive turning point in the history of religions. Jesus' cleansing of the temple, Ignatius Press. Even though God established the worship of the Old Covenant, it was not enough to bring humanity into close communion with God. Jesus not only cleansed the temple of the abuse of money changers, driving them out with a cord, he also pointed to the need for something fundamentally new, not in the absence of religion, but one that arises from God's own initiative towards us and that draws us into communion with him. The cleansing of the temple pointed to the need for a new temple without the limits of its prototype. To enter it, one need not travel to Jerusalem, purchase animals to sacrifice, and remain in the outer court while only priests enter within. No, in the new temple that Jesus erected in his resurrection, we can enter into the Holy of Holies with him. Jesus' cleansing showed that the temple of stone must be destroyed so that the new one, the new covenant, with its new style of worship can come. Yet at the same time, this means that Jesus must endure crucifixion so that after his resurrection, he may become the new temple. In the death of Jesus, the whole old order of religion passed away with its grasping after God, and a new way to the Father was opened up in a transformed life he took up at Easter. Easter means that we don't have to find our own way anymore, futile as this attempt has always been. In place of the blind groping after meaning, Jesus gives us a relationship with the Father. He doesn't just give us some part of the truth or a limited share in his life. He pours out everything that he has received from the Father, letting it flow into our hearts through his Holy Spirit. This is the answer to our search for meaning and the communion we have longed for ever since we lost our original innocence. Jesus himself described this drastic shift in religious history. The Gentiles did not know God, or the Jews who knew him could not relate to him as sons. Speaking to the Samaritan woman, Jesus laid out his new religious plan. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in his spirit and truth. For such the Father seeks to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Religious worship does not disappear, but it becomes inflamed from within by God's own presence with us that enables us to reach our final destination, the Father's love. The new temple is not a place, but a person, showing us that the new religion of Jesus focuses on relationship above all else. It does not get rid of religious ritual, such as the Eucharistic sacrifice of his body, nor moral actions such as his beatitudes or the works of mercy. Instead, he situates them in relation to the Father. We come to the Father through him, as he draws us into communion with him of his holy body, enabling us to simply imitate him, but to become one with him. Once it comes to we need to be religious too, but within a religion of the Spirit. Jesus is the way to the Father, and we walk that way, enlivened by the living presence of God within us, making us a temple of God, a stone within the new temple erected by Jesus in his body. The new religion moves us out of ourselves in love, not a self-seeking love that uses spirituality to pop up one's own emotions and desires, but a love that pulls us into happiness beyond our imagination, union with the Holy, with the Most Holy Trinity. All of history and even our current restlessness points us to the great work of Easter, a recreation of all humanity, including our religious longing, into his new eternal temple. Fire Foundation of Denver, the host resource fair for parents of children with disabilities by the Denver Catholic staff. Any parent can tell you that raising children is not easy. Beyond the typical challenges, many parents within our own communities have a bit extra on their plates as they raise, form, and educate children with disabilities. Not long ago, most parents of kids with disabilities thought their kids would never enroll in Catholic school. There were too many obstacles, or the costs were too high, or the schools just weren't ready, wrote J.D. Flynn last year. With the advent of the Fire Foundation of Denver just a few years ago, the landscape has begun to shift in the Archdiocese of Denver's Catholic schools, with many school communities welcoming and embracing students with disabilities and learning to serve them more effectively. Including people with disabilities in Catholic schools benefits all kids, continued Flynn. An inclusion mindset helps teachers tailor lessons to the needs of each student, helping every child reach their full potential. But more important, inclusion gives students the chance to live the pro-life mission of the church, to experience that every single person has a dignity, and to learn to love people who think or talk or act differently. On April 13th, the Fire Foundation will host a resource fair at Holy Family High School in Broomfield from 10 to 12 p.m. The goal of the fair is not only to provide information about their work in making Catholic education more accessible, but also to allow families of children with disabilities to get more information about other great local resources to support them. Upcoming events in April. Annual Black Catholic Retreat. Who do you say that I am? Discovering our true identity and moving forward. Annual Black Catholic Retreat is sponsored by the Office of Black Catholic Ministry. It will be held on April 19th through the 21st at Sacred Heart Jesus Retreat House at 4801 North Highway 67, Sedalia. All are welcome to join Father Reginald Norman for a weekend of quiet reflection and renewal. Father Reggie is the vicar of the Apostolate of Black Catholics for the Diocese of Bridgeport and the pastor of Our Lady of Fatima in Wilton, Connecticut. Additionally, he serves as the president of the National Association of Black Catholic Administrators, NABCA, and the vice president of the National Black Catholic Congress. Questions? Email kateriawilliams@archden.org. Secure your space now by going to sacredheartretreat.org/group-retreats. Another event was rescheduled. Eucharistic Revival Pilgrimage Talk, A Living Sacrifice, the Holy Mass and Our Christian Life. The event was rescheduled to April 18th due to inclement weather. In the prayers of the Holy Mass, priest refers to the Eucharist as the holy and living sacrifice, while he also prays that we may truly become a living sacrifice in Christ. This reflection will explore the sacrificial nature of the Mass and how we participate in it through our baptismal priesthood. Dr. Ben Akers is the Chief Content Officer at the Augustine Institute, which serves the formation of Catholics throughout academic and parish programs. He oversees content on Forumed, the always free Amen Catholic Prayer and Meditation app, and the Word of the Life and the Word of Life K-8 curriculum project for parishes and schools. He previously served as the director of the Denver Catholic Biblical School and Catechetical School at the Archdiocese. He was a focus missionary at the University of Denver and the University of Colorado Boulder. He and his wife and five children are parishioners at St. Vincent de Paul Parish in Denver. Thank you for joining us for Catholic News, read by Chris Mihalik.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.